Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. If you would take a look at all those announcements that are printed for you in the bulletin. I won't work my way through that. I'll leave that up to, for you all to read those. But I do want to make one comment concerning the men's class that is going to be get started next week, studying R.C. Sproul's book on theology. I've been asked if women can be a part of that class. Well, it's a men's class, ladies, and so we're going to just right now we're going to have that just to be for men. There are some women that like theology, so maybe y'all could study. Do I see some nodding? There are women that like theology, so maybe that's something that also could be studied in the women's Sunday school class. But that's what we're going to do for right now, is just that we're having a men's class, they have a women's class, and then there's a free-for-all class in here for adults. Let's stand and greet one another, and then when the music begins to play, if you would, make your way to your seat. Stand and call one another to worship. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall declare your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. How long have y'all been here?
Almost a year.
Okay. Eric and Suzanne Johnson, who have been with us for almost a year now, came from the far country, came to the promised land, and now they're going to the far country again. And so I've asked them if they would come and to share. They've been part of us, and now they're going to be leaving us. Come, Eric, Suzanne, and share your word.
The far country was California, by the way.
Thank you.
you, Pastor Carter, for giving us this chance to share. And we've observed this year that we've been here that this is a congregation that loves God's Word and loves to read it together. So I thought we could start by reading this scripture together. I will read the first line, and you all can read the next line in response. All right, maybe that's not going to work. So seeing that scripture, and if I were to read it, I will read it a little bit so you can experience. 国方的赦免,罪恶的遮盖,有人的福了. That is the experience that many people in the world have if they were to enter a church. That is, the scripture is not in the language that they speak well or that they speak at all. There's still about 1.5 million people in the world that do not have God's word in their own language. Of the 7,000 languages spoken in the world, there's only about 700 that have all 31,000 verses of God's word translated. So Suzanne and I work with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and our goal is that every language that's still spoken in the world will have God's word within this next generation. But it's a big task, obviously. And Suzanne and I have been working for Wycliffe for about 20 years, first in Africa, and then since 2003, we've been in East Asia, in a large country there that I'm sure you know. And in 2019, working with some local believers, we finished the New Testament, and we've translated about one-third of the Old Testament into a language there that's spoken by about 500,000 people. It's not a language related to Chinese. It's more related to Thai and to Lao. And when we first went there, there were no believers of any denomination, not Catholic, not Protestant. And through the witness of some believers from some neighboring people groups, I should say, some people became believers, and we were able to work with them. And now there's a small community of believers meeting together, trying to use their own language to study the scriptures and worship the Lord. Since 2019, we've also started consulting with other people groups that are nearby, using the internet to work with them to try to also translate at least the New Testament and ideally the whole Bible. In the summer of 2019, we came back to the States with our five kids for several reasons. One was to finish seminary in California. But because of the security situation and the way that our organization is no longer welcome in that country, it became clear that we cannot get visas to go back to that country anymore, at least right now. So our organization asked us to consider moving to the neighboring country because there's very closely related language groups there that the local church the neighboring people group want to start a Bible translation project. So they've asked us to go and work with a group called the Pradi, that are about 50,000 speakers and don't have any scripture, but do have a few believers at this point who want the Bible in their own language. We came to Tennessee last June thinking we'd just be here for a few months until that country opened up again. And now we've been here for a year, and it's been great. We're very glad that we came here, and we're gonna leave one person behind. Suzanne will talk about that in a minute. And we were hoping to go in June back to Asia, and we're going to Colorado first to see Suzanne's family and my sister's family. But this last week, they have had the worst outbreak of COVID that country has had so far. So all paperwork for foreigners entering the country has been put on hold temporarily, we hope. So sort of like COVID that just keeps coming back, you might see us coming back again in July. Suzanne will share a little bit more.
I just want to say how thankful I am for all of you. When we came here thinking, oh, we'll just be here for a few weeks and we'll visit our relative church, and then we realized, oh, we're going to be here longer, but we don't know how long and how connected can we get, and we've just been so welcomed here. Thank you so much for making us a part of your family here and our kids being welcomed and having a community here. And I know that, you know, from now on, when we come back, this will be something that we will look forward to seeing all of you again, whether that's like in a few weeks or in a few years. We're just really grateful for you. And we've had such a time of refreshing here. And I feel built up and ready to go back. So thank you. We have five kids. Did they have them? No, there's only four of them over there. Simeon, our oldest, is in California, and so at university there. Gabriel will be staying here, going to UTK. And then the three others, Naomi, Kezia, and Ian, will come with us to Asia. So Yeah, please be praying for our family as we wait for the visas, and just that God would open the door for us to get there sooner rather than later, so that we can start moving forward and adjusting to life there. And please pray for us as we adjust there and try to learn the language. We're kind of old for that now, but just pray that God and His grace would give us the strength that we need to be able to learn what we need to and make friendships there when we get there, and that we'd be able to find an apartment that's affordable and be able to settle in there. Please pray also for the teams that we're still checking for in Asia. It's just a really hard time in that country for the translators to carry on, but please pray that God would strengthen them as they carry on, help them to be faithful, help the work that we've been checking and they've been working on to be able to be used so that these peoples can grow in these communities that have never had God's word before.
One neat thing that's happened is in that big country there, sales of the Bible have been very restricted. It's almost impossible now to get a paper copy of the Bible in that country. Previously, when we were there, the first 10 years, you could buy it on the internet. You could even buy it in a few bookstores now. But that's given the minority believers even more motivation to translate the Bible into their own language, which the government cannot read, and to use their own language to share God's word, which is really what we want to see them do, since then it goes to the heart and not just to their brain. We have a newsletter that we email out and prayer updates, so if you would like to get that, I put a sign-up list on the table in that room out there that I won't even dare to label. Whether it's... Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Craig.
Some of you will know Kirsten Meeber. She was a Bryan student, was part of our church for the 4 years that she was here, and they just happened to be... She's going to be working with, y'all are going to be working together over in Asia. So that's a really an interesting thing, how God kind of works things like that. So we, Eric and Suzanne are 40, fully supported through Wycliffe, but they're going to have some outgoing expenses that they weren't planning on. And so we are, out of our missions budget, as a church, we're going to pull $1,000 out of our mission budget, and we'd like also to give you all an opportunity to give towards their outgoing expenses and things. So if you would like to, you can write a check, put it in the offering plate, you can contact Missy and designate some monies to help the Johnsons as they transition into their new life. They're going to need to leave here and then go and stay like in a hotel like for 2 weeks or something like that, then try to find an apartment, and then they get stuck in their apartment for another 2 weeks or so, and trying to acclimate to life. So if y'all would like to be a part of that work, please, give to that and then sign up for their newsletter. That would be a great thing. Let me pray for you all. Father, I thank you for calling Eric and Suzanne and family to your work. Apostles sent out by you to countries that are not their own. We thank you how you have kept them over 20 years, enable them to reduce or to take your word and put it in a language so that people could read it in their own native tongue. And through that, many have come to faith in Christ. Now you're taking them to another country, and that will be hard. And they need friends, fellow believers they can pray with, and they can cry with, they can strengthen one another. They need contacts in that country. They need the mental ability to be able to learn new languages. You know everything that they're going to face, and you are previous. You are already there. You are already at work. And pray that you would supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and surpassing. Show them tokens of your favor and of your love throughout this entire process. And as they have to say goodbye to family, show them how to do it and do it well. Fill in any of the gaps that are there, and may they know that you will take care of Gabriel because you happen to be in Knoxville too. Father, may we not forget them, but may we be those who pray for them and let them know that they have a home whenever they return to Tennessee. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's praise the God whose love stretches to the heavens. It stretches to Asia. It stretches here. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Psalm 32, which we'll be reading together, is a psalm of personal testimony. Okay. David, who wrote this, went off into sin, and he doesn't acknowledge it. And so what God in his grace does is starts to press down on him. We don't see sometimes the heavy hand of God as being an instrument of grace, but it is. He does that for those who he loves. And so he presses and presses. And finally, David is willing to acknowledge his sin. And then he rejoices in the forgiveness that is his. So let's read together. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long.
For day and night, your hand was laid upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the sun.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave me, forgave the guilt of my sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your grace and mercy to us, you have given us your word. And your word reveals to us who you are and how we should live in light of who you are. And every one of us, we have our own Bible. Your word. And most of us have multiple copies. And if we don't have the hard copy, we can all pull it up on our devices. And yet we are those who so easily go astray. We often turn a deaf ear and refuse to listen to your voice. We confess that we are followers of you. That's what we profess. And then sometimes we are like the horse. We need the bit and the bridle to pull us in the direction you want us to go. Forgive us. Forgive us for seeking to keep up and establish our own little kingdoms and try to rule our own little worlds and make the people around us conform to our will. And we all want to go and do your will when it aligns with ours. Forgive us. Father, we ask if we go astray that you would in your mercy and grace do to us and for us what you did for the psalmist. Don't let us go. Hold us fast and do what is necessary to bring us to repentance. And we thank you that you are a forgiving God, slow to anger and plenteous of mercy. And we thank you that in your love and in your mercy, you provided for us Jesus. And through him, our sins are forgiven. And through him, we have complete access, and we can call you Father. Those truths that we know, Father, I pray that you would be written on the tablets of our hearts, and that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. And give us the desire to follow close to you. And Father, may we understand that our faith is not just individual, it's a community faith, the people of God. And we are to do life and live our life, Christian life, together in community. So may we understand we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. And may we encourage one another, and we pursue you in the company of friends. We thank you for this time, a time to hear what you are doing around the world, a time and to celebrate our faith through song, a time to worship you through the giving of tithes and offerings, and then also to hear from you. And Father, I pray that this time will be all that you desire it to be and all that we need. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The psalmist continues. He says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him.
Rejoice in the Lord, and be glad in your righteousness. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart."
Upright in heart, let's stand and sing hymn number 457. Come, thou fount of every blessing.
Let's pray together, please. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a sovereign God and that you are in control. And no matter whether it's a family in Asia that's coming home this week or family that's looking forward to going to Asia soon, Lord, we know that you are there. And sometimes we think of you as being a local God that lives in Dayton and comes to Westminster, Lord, but you are a God that is everywhere. And that we are so grateful that you were able to look over family no matter where they are, that your hand is in control no matter where we go. Lord, we just pray now as we come to a time of giving that it would be an opportunity for us to worship you, with the funds that you have provided for us, Lord. They are your funds. And maybe we will be joyful and praiseful in giving those back to you, Lord, so that your work can continue with our assistance, even though you don't need it, Lord, but you let us participate. We're grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
may be seated. We're working our way through Luke's gospel, and we're in chapter 6. And so if you would please turn there, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16 this morning. And I want to begin with reading our text. In these days, he, meaning Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. From Mark's gospel, speaking of the same event, it says, and he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Now, in this morning's passage, Jesus is beginning a new phase of ministry. Up to this point in time, he has been primarily he's focusing around Galilee, and Capernaum, which is his headquarters there around the top of the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And he has been preaching throughout that area, preaching in synagogues. He has been getting a whole lot of attention. This is basically him announcing himself to the nation of Israel. And he's been doing that by going in those synagogues and teaching as one who has authority. Does he have authority? Yes, he has authority because he's God. And that's getting everybody's attention. He is going out and lame people are walking. Blind people are now seeing. The lepers are being cleansed. People who have had fevers are breaking. You know, the people who have, you know, a withered hand has got straightened up. And so his reputation is spreading very far and wide, and the crowds are coming in. Sometimes they're so pressing on him, he can't get away. He can't even come into a town without getting a whole lot of attention. So he goes out a lot of times out into the wilderness just to get away and also just to pray and spend time with his Father. Okay. Now here in chapter 6, there is a shift from ministry, you know, primarily to the masses. He's going to be start focusing in on 12 men. Up to this point in time, there are three main groups of people that the gospel writers introduce us to. First group are his enemies. He has religious enemies, and he has secular enemies. We could see that a little bit in our passage from last week, where Jesus has been not keeping the Sabbath the way the Pharisees think he should. And after the incident of healing the man with the withered hand, the Pharisees leave and they join, you know, in cahoots with some of the secular leaders to plot Jesus' death. Okay, so he has enemies. He has people that are curious. They hear about Jesus, they come and they check Jesus out, but then they leave. And then there are disciples, followers, learners, and there's a wide spectrum of people that are disciples. All the way from people that follow for a little while and then leave, and then some that keep on following all the way until Jesus is crucified. So it's a wide spectrum. John kind of in chapter 2 highlights this when he says, okay, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it says, John says this. He says, now in verse number 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, okay, Jesus would do that yearly journey to Passover like all, you know, good Jewish men. So he's in Jerusalem, and it says, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. Okay, so he's doing some miracles people see, and they believe. Okay? They have some faith in Jesus. And so we say, great, they have faith in Jesus. No. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them. because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Meaning, he knew that there were people that came, they saw what he was doing, they had a temporary faith. Soon they would be gone. And so Jesus was not going to give himself to them because he knew they were not going to give themselves to him. And then later in chapter 6 of John's gospel, he's back in Capernaum teaching in the synagogue. And it says, and after he's been teaching for a while, and then it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, "Does this offend you?" Jesus asked. So we got Jesus teaching some things that people didn't want to hear, and then they get offended with what Jesus is saying. And then he says, "Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" And then from this time, many of his disciples turned back and followed him no more. Okay, so you've got people who are saying, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm following Jesus." And then Jesus does something, says something that they don't like, and they've said, "I've had it. I'm leaving." And so they walk away from Jesus. So there's a wide spectrum of disciples that are following Jesus. Then there's a fourth group that nobody mentions, but they're there, and that's the people that don't care. They're not interested in Jesus at all. Jesus comes through their town, he heals, he preaches, and they're just, "So what?" And when we get to chapter 8 of Luke, we'll be looking at these under the parable of the soils, where the farmer goes out and he sows seed. Some lands on the path. It doesn't do a bit of good. The birds come and take it away. Some fall on the stony ground, some on the thorny ground, and some on good ground. Okay. That's what's taking place right now in Jesus' ministry. Now, in our passage, Jesus is going to be selecting 12 men from his group of disciples. Okay. And these he's calling apostles. Now, let me explain a little bit of what an apostle is. Apostle means sent one. Okay? It would be kind of like, you know, an ambassador, where the president or a king or a nation sends somebody as their representative to another country, you know, and he speaks or she speaks on behalf of the king or the president or the nation. That's an ambassador. Okay? And when we come to the scriptures, there are several, you know, at least four different types of apostles in the scriptures. The first is Jesus is an apostle. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews says. Chapter 1. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." Then chapter 3, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him." Okay. So when God wanted to speak to people on this earth, he sent a representative. He sent an apostle. And these apostles were the prophets. The prophets came and spoke on behalf of God, saying, "This is what God says." Okay. Then there was a shift, and that was in the past, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, but now God has a new apostle, someone that's represented him, someone that's going to tell people about him and about his kingdom, and that is Jesus. Okay. Jesus is our apostle, sent to us by God. That's one way apostles use. The second way is the office of apostle, and we'll make that big A, apostle. Okay, that's what's taking place here. Jesus is selecting 12 men that he is going to train, and then he is going to send them out to represent him. Take his message, and it's going to go to the whole world. Okay. This is an office. There, and it is a limited number of people, 12. And that included a man by the name of Judas, which we'll get to. When Judas died, Judas killed himself, the remaining 11 selected one more. Okay, and they had two qualifications for this apostle. He had to be with us from the very beginning, and he had to see the resurrected Christ. Okay, so there are two guys. They cast lots and fell for Matthias, and he became the 12th apostle. Later on, Jesus decides that he just didn't decide later on. It didn't just come to him. Jesus chose Saul of Tarsus, whom he changed his name. Saul was named after King Saul, you know, the great king from Benjamin. And God changed his name to what?
Paul.
Paul means small. Paul had this big, inflated view of himself. And he was a persecutor of the church, persecutor of Christians, hater of Jesus. And then Jesus knocks him off his horse, calls him to be an apostle, and then changes his name to small. Who's in charge? God, the one who sent him. Remember that, Paul. You're my messenger. You're my apostle. Okay. So there are no big A apostles today. Somebody will claim to be an apostle. They're not a big A apostle. They can't say, Peter and I are equal. No. There is, however, little A apostles. There is the gift of apostleship. If you look at the gifts of, list of spiritual gifts, you've got a gift of teaching, administration, mercy, and service, and helps. There is a gift of apostleship. And I think the gift of apostleship is people that have been given the gift to be able to take the gospel to represent God in cultures that are not their own. Maybe to go out as missionaries, plant churches, start organizations, Christian organizations, oversee things. That would be a little A apostle with the spiritual gift of apostleship. Not the same as the office of apostle. Now, This is Carter. You're free to disagree with me. Still be wrong, but you're free to disagree. Because this is not what the Bible says. I went to a school that was very, very much missions oriented. And the thought was almost, you are called to go to be a missionary, but be willing to stay, but plan to go, but be willing to stay. And in a missions class, we were supposed to do like a 5-minute, mission spot to be able to put on the radio. And mine was, who should be a missionary? And it got rejected because my view is, no, it's being a missionary is not just for anyone. Missionaries ought to be among the best that the church has. They ought to be able to fulfill the men ought to be able to fulfill the offices in the church, either be an elder or a deacon. The women ought to be highly qualified, godly women, and they ought to be our church's best because they are going cross-cultural ministry. And you think it's hard to minister here, it's much harder to do it in a culture that's not your own. You've got to learn a language that's not your own. You've got to learn to think differently. And you're going into territory where Satan has a real foothold. And he doesn't give up ground very easily. And so missionaries experience things that we don't, in opposition, we generally don't hear. And they should be our very best. Number one reason why missionaries leave the field is what? Other missionaries. Can't get along with missionaries or nationals. Interpersonal problems. And so that's just, I have... When people go off and are missionaries, and they go to and they come back, and then they go back out, and there's joy in ministry, I admire and respect them greatly because They're doing things that very few can do. So missionaries should be our best. There's another type of apostle, and that's a false apostle. A true apostle is sent by Christ. The devil sends out people as well. A true apostle, you know, is empowered by the Spirit of God. The false apostle is inspired by Satan, empowered by Satan. The true apostle speaks the truth, the other speaks a lie. We've got wolves in sheep's clothing, false apostles, people claiming to speak for God, and they're not. But Jesus is calling here 12 men. And he gets all of his disciples. We don't know how many disciples there are, but there's a lot of disciples that Jesus is going to choose 12. Later on, as we'll see, he has 70 guys that didn't make it to the 12, 70 other guys that he's going to be sending out to go into the different villages where he was going to be going. So there's a whole lot of people, and Jesus is going to choose 12. So how does he do it?
He prays.
Okay, he says he goes to the mountain, and then he prays. Now you think, okay, Jesus is who? Jesus is God. He's fully God and fully man. Why does God have to pray? What do you think? Okay, he is supposed to be, he's just like we're supposed to be, living lives of dependence upon the Spirit of God. Okay. He was given the Spirit without measure, and to be empowered by the Spirit to be able to do what he's been sent to do. And he's going to function like we function. And so when we have decisions to make, should we just go ahead and lean on our own understanding? No. We need to seek the counsel from God. God, what is it that you would have me do? He is fully man. He's living his life in dependence upon his Father. And so he goes to the mountain and pray. Now, notice, okay, how long does he pray?
All night.
He didn't get some word of knowledge. God didn't whisper in his ear and the 12 names and then him come down and choose those things. He prays all night. Now, although our text doesn't say it, what I think is taking place on that mountain, why it took all night, is he knows who his followers are, he knows who his disciples are, and he's praying through each one. Okay. He's praying, Father, what about Peter? You know what Peter's like. I mean, I see some leadership gifts in him. But I see he's really impetuous. He can go off and do things in his emotions and cause a lot of problems. But, you know, he's strong. What do you think, Father? And what does the Father say? Yep, pick him. Well, what about Andrew, his brother? I think Andrew, Father, could probably keep Peter in check a little bit until he matures. And he's kind of a missionary. You know, he was the one who went off and, you know, and got. And I'm going to be sending these guys out. Do you think he would choose Andrew? Now, how about Matthias? He's been with me all the time. He's a really good guy. He's steady. He's stable. Nope. Okay. And so he works his way down through. What about John? I know he's young. He's just a teenager. James can help him. But John, he's smart. He's sensitive. Okay. So he works his way down through. Some people are chosen and some people are rejected. And so he comes down the next day. He calls his disciples together and then he chooses. He calls 12 guys. Simon, who he's going to call Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, and John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of James, which James, Jesus, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Jude, and Judas. Okay, Bartholomew, want you to. Okay, so he calls these guys. Were the guys excited? What do you think? Yes, I think they were. I think they were thrilled that they were chosen to be his disciples, and maybe some of them were disappointed. But Jesus calls these guys. Why these 12? Why did Jesus call those 12? Not a trick question. What does our text say? Because he had prayed, and these are the ones that the Father had given him. That's why he chose them. It wasn't because they were super gifted necessarily or really smart, not because they were really charismatic. These are the ones that the Father had given him. Later on in John chapter 17, he's going to talk about, you know, that God had given him some, and he hadn't lost any of them except for Judas. From the divine perspective, these 12 were chosen because they were given to him by the Father. From the human perspective, these are those who were there with him. These are guys who would stick with him. These were the guys who would follow him. These are guys who would learn from him. These are guys who would be committed to him. So you got both of these are going on, I think. Why 12? What, Val? Yeah, it kind of corresponds to the 12 tribes of Israel. What's going on here is showing there's a unity between the old covenant and the new covenant. God is not doing a new thing through Jesus. This is a fulfillment of the thing he's been doing since the very beginning of the world. He made a promise to Adam and Eve in the garden that there is going to be coming a guy who's going to crush, set on the serpent's head. And then he made a promise to Abraham and to the nation of Israel that the Messiah is coming, and he's the one that they've been looking for. He's the one that they've been longing for. So this is tying everything together. This is not something new. This is just a fulfillment of all that has been promised. The shadows, and now the substance. Okay, that's what he's showing here. That's why there's 12. And then Mark says that he chose these guys to be with him. So this is a real transitional time for these guys. I think up to this point, you know, these guys are coming and going. You know, in Luke chapter 4, we have Peter is with Jesus in the synagogue with Andrew, and then they go over to Peter's house to eat. And that's where he heals Peter's mother-in-law. In chapter 5, Peter's fishing. So, or it's reversed. So he's fishing, and then he goes to his mother-in-law's house. And so there's kind of a coming and going. Now it's leaving. And they're going to be with Jesus. So this is a real transitional time. These guys are saying goodbye to their former life, and they're hooking up with Jesus, and they're going to be living with Jesus and learning from Jesus. And Jesus is going to be pouring into them. He's going to be training them. He's going to be giving them jobs to do. And he's going to be watching them. And he's going to be just turning more and more of the ministry over to them so that when he leaves, they're about ready to go. Now, so what does all this have to do with us? What we need to understand is that although Jesus has ascended, he's still at work. He is still calling people to himself. He's still changing lives. He is building his church. He is defeating the devil. And he is doing it through Spirit-empowered people. And so He is at work in this community. He is at work in Asia. He is at work in other communities. He's at work all throughout his world. And he wants to use his people to accomplish his purposes. And so I think he invites us to be a part of what he is doing. And if we want to be a part of what he is doing and how he is reaching people and changing people, then I think we need to start with being with him. We need to spend time with him. You'll hear me just beat this drum. We've got to spend time with our Lord. It's through that time that we spend him. It's one of the ways in which he changes us and makes us like him. He teaches us who he is, and he reveals to us his ways and what he wants us to do. So we need to spend time and be with Jesus. We talk. Today is Sunday, which is the Christian Sabbath. And so we all have got a little bit of extra time that we don't have on other days. And we can we spend 30 minutes with the Lord today? Do we have time to spend 30 minutes with him? Okay, Ben has plenty of time to be on Facebook. How many of y'all have already been on Facebook this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you are bold. Thank you for being bold. Yeah, we find the time to be able to do what we want to do. So let's spend some extra time and say, God, I want to be with you. And then as we are, he'll work in us. And then, what do you want me to do? He will have things for us to do wherever it is that he's placed us. We need just to be available to him. Number two, if we're involved in what God is doing, we need to understand that not everybody gets, he treats us differently. Not everybody gets the same press. We don't all get the same privileges in the same position. If you look at these 12 guys, you know, Peter is mentioned a whole lot. He's mentioned over 175 times in the Gospels and in Acts. John is next. He's over 50. And then there are some people that are like Jude or Simeon or Simon. He is less than five. They're less than five. Okay. All those guys were called by Jesus, sent out by Jesus, do marvelous things for Jesus, but we don't know anything about some of these guys except for their name. We know a whole lot about Peter. We know how impetuous he was. We know that he walked on water. We know that he cut off a guy's ear with his sword. We know that Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." We know Peter walked on the water. We know that Peter preached a great sermon on Pentecost. Peter, when his name is listed with the disciples, he's always number one. Peter was the leader. When Peter preached on Pentecost, where were the other disciples, apostles? They were standing behind him. He was out front because he is the leader. All these guys do great things, but Peter is the leader. Now, there's some things, you know, people, okay. Thomas, what do you know about Thomas? Okay, doubting Thomas. Okay, he has one bad day. And he is labeled for 2,000 years. Okay, the Holy Spirit makes sure that that is recorded. Bummer. If you're Thomas, bummer. Okay, not everybody is going to be treated the same, and your press is not going to be equal. Some people will be out front. Some people, by God's design, are going to be behind the scenes. And we have to be okay with that. Because he's king. He's Lord. He is the one who determines how we serve. You know, I went to David Snyder and I went to a conference down in Birmingham. And we're in a PCA church that you can probably fit the town of Dayton into. It's massive. I don't know how many thousands of people are part of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. The vast majority of PCA churches are less than 100. And we've got guys that are very gifted preachers that are pastoring very small churches. And we've got some that are not quite as gifted pastoring, preaching in large churches. How does that work? God does what God wants. You know, come on, brain. I'll come up with it probably after the benediction. But there's a theologian who's from Canada. If I can remember his name, a lot of y'all would have heard him. He's written a whole lot of books, a whole lot of commentaries. And Dennis, you can bail me out on this if you come to. And his daddy, he's written a biography of his dad.
Don Carson.
Okay, Don Carson is one of the premier theologians of today, and he's big in some circles. His daddy has pastored churches his entire life, and none of them, I think, got above 80. And so he's written a biography of his dad and his faithfulness of an ordinary man. But maybe part of his ministry was, I'm going to be in these little churches because it's going to be the best place for my son, who's going to be a widely known theologian. But God is in charge. And some people are going to get the press and the positions and the privileges. You know, you've got Peter and James and John got to be part of the inner three. They got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were invited to come in close with Jesus in the garden. The other guys didn't. Why those three? You know, well, Peter, he's going to be the leader of the church. You know, John's going to live longer than anybody else. John probably died around 99 or 100, so that they needed those special experiences. Well, what about James? James died, boom, right off the bat. Think, well, that was a waste. Should have given it to somebody else. Well, maybe that's what James needed. We don't know. James was the first of the apostles to die outside of Judas. But God gives special things to different people, and we got to be okay with that. But as we serve God, as we seek to do that, beware of being diotrephes. So, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, right. Okay, you say, who in the world is he? He's mentioned in the Bible. John mentions him in 3 John. And this is what he says about diotrephes. Big D. The big D. The big D always wanted to be first. John's writing a letter to a church, and he singles out this guy. This guy goes down to infamy. He says he always wants to be first. He's just doesn't want to be on the team. He wants to be the face of the team. He wants to be the brand. Always wanting to be known, always wanting to put himself out front. And so things were more about the big D than it was about Jesus. Beware of that, of wanting to be somebody as we seek to serve Christ. Number 3, you may get hurt. You want to work for Jesus, be involved with Jesus doing, you may get hurt. Jesus selects 12 guys, and one of them is a devil, Judas. Think about it. Jesus chooses him, brings him in close, teaches him, trains him, prays with him, plays with him, empowers him for ministry, and Judas betrays him. How do you think Jesus felt?
Hurt.
Just, I gave you everything, and you stabbed me. And then those 11 guys, They didn't even see it coming. And we were with Judas for 3 years. How did we not see it? We trusted him. He was our friend. We were doing life together, everything. And then he betrays Jesus. He stabs us. Think of it. You know that they did have a lot of late night conversations. How did we miss it? If we serve our Lord, there will be people that are good friends of ours that we pour our lives into, and then they will walk away. They will once say, I love Jesus, I'm following Jesus, and then something will happen, and they'll walk away. They may spiritually blow up, or they might just turn around and just go. What happened to Judas, we don't really know, but we'll look at it maybe a little bit when we get into looking at the guy who was demon-possessed in the Gennesaret. But Satan did not make Judas do what he did. Judas opened himself up to the devil. Judas was a liar. Judas was greedy. Judas was a thief. And then Judas got disillusioned. Jesus didn't do what Judas thought he should do, and so he got disillusioned with Jesus and he started feeding it. And then it got a hold of him. And the devil exploited it. And he betrays Jesus. What Judas did was the greatest evil anybody could do. But God used that to accomplish the greatest good. Through that betrayal, Jesus is crucified. Our sins are paid for, and heaven's doors are opened. So don't despair over the evils that people may do, or the evil that people may do to you. Don't despair. God is at work. God can take evil and bring out good. So don't despair. God is always at work. And if you have been hurt by somebody, abused, or, you know, which can be physical abuse, it can be sexual abuse, it can be spiritual abuse or spiritual abuse that takes place in churches. Don't deny it. You know, don't deny that anything took place. Don't let it totally devastate you, but work your way through it. Let it turn you to God. Let him restore you, and then use that for spiritual good for other people. This is my story. This is how I have been hurt. This is what I have suffered. This is my loss. This is how God has met me. And you can use that evil or that pain. It can be the loss of a spouse. It can be going through, you know, sickness or something. But you come through it, and God can use it. Number four, finish well. When we look at those 12 guys, we know what happened to two from the scriptures. We know what happened to Judas. What happened to Judas? Suicide. He killed himself. James, he died by the sword. He was beheaded by, you know, right away. Stephen was stoned. He was a deacon in the church. Then James was arrested, and then he was killed. Scriptures are silent about everybody else. But if you can read Fox's Book of Martyr, or you can just go online and Google it, what happened to the apostles? And it'll tell you, every one of them died a martyr's death except for John. Some were crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. Others, you know, three or four were crucified. They're stoned to death, killed with a sword, killed with a spear, decapitated, stoned. bad stuff. John, they say, he was thrown into some hot oil, but he survived. Lives to 99, 100, age 100. During that period of time, he had Mary. He took Mary with him, and they went to Ephesus. And tradition says she died in Ephesus and buried in Ephesus, and he's buried in Ephesus. Okay. John lives to ripe old age. Everybody else dies a martyr's death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die. And that's what happened to these guys. But they died because they followed Jesus. Let's be like the 11. Not like Judas. Let's go all the way to the end. It's not how we start that's most important. It's how we finish. We need to finish the race. Run it with endurance. Keep the faith all the way to the end. Jesus says, count the cost. Don't start, he says, unless you're prepared to finish it. Let's be those who are really serious about the things of God. Jesus was serious about when he came and he finished the work that God had called him to do. Let's run all the way to the end. Some of you haven't decided to follow Jesus. What's the holdup? You know, this book of Luke was written so that Theophilus would know that the things he'd been told were true. There's enough that we've covered in these six chapters to show us who Jesus is. And if you've been sitting in here very long, and some of you are raised in Christian families, you know the gospel. What's keeping you surrendering? He's key. Don't fight him. You know, we have that psalm that we read where you have David, God pushing down, dealing with him in his sin. What if God didn't do that? He would have continued on. You don't want God to give you your way. I urge you, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, to do so. Do it today. Now is the day of salvation. Don't be a Judas. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, who was willing to take on flesh and to become man to save us. And he chose these 12 guys, 11 of whom were faithful, and we are the fruit of their ministry, fruit of their faithfulness. So we thank you for them. Father, you've saved many of us, and you've placed us here. You're not sending us off to a far country. You've placed us here because you want to do a work in us and through us. May we be available. May we be faithful like the 11. Father, I ask that you'd keep us. Don't let us do a Judas. Hold us fast. If we feel disillusioned by how life is turning out, and how you're not doing what we think you ought to do, show us how to say no to that and not give in to that, because that's a dead end. Father, may we view ourselves as family, as friends, and responsible to and for one another. May we be those who bear one another's burdens. May people not feel like they're all alone in the struggle, all alone in the fight. May we be those who weep with those who are weeping and rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. May everyone here feel like they have someone who will be an ear to listen. And also someone who will be a mouth who will speak truth. Father, I thank you that you will not leave us and you will not forsake us. And wherever it is that you send us, you are there. When we get there, you walk with us all the way. So we thank you for that. Amen. Let's stand. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.